This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong alongside Mary Lucas, who represents Transitions Life Care. Mary, how are you doing today?
Doing well. I have some bad news. I have a new foster dog and she went for the blueberries.
Oh, no. Now, I always have to ask my Google assistant, you know, is it okay for my dog to eat this? Are blueberries safe for dogs to eat?
Yes, they were safe. Okay. Yes, between her and the dog that I had, a hospice dog just prior, who was with me for only a couple weeks, who learned how to open the fridge. I've been Googling a lot of, is this safe to eat? Because it was a special couple weeks.
At that point, you can't be mad. You just have to be impressed.
I wasn't mad.
You've got to be impressed. That is quite a talent.
Yes, it was.
Well, we've got a wonderful show lined up. Today, we're going to be talking about all things related to osteoporosis. And we are very pleased to welcome on to the program today, Dr. John Neustadt. He's founder and president of NBI. NBI stands for Nutritional Biochemistry, Inc. Dr. Neustadt, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm excited. And I agree with your dog. I'm a fan of blueberries as well.
We started growing them this year. I'm moving away from all the produce I had in my backyard because I feel like sometimes, especially here in North Carolina, you know, you spend more time watering than you do. I spend so much time stressing over a tomato that I could just go buy at the farmer's market and didn't need to worry about my water bill for the entire summer over that one tomato. So I switched to blueberries. Apparently that's not working either.
Well, but I know we're going to be talking about osteoporosis, and you haven't even asked a question yet. But I do have to say that gardening is phenomenal for exercise for people with osteoporosis. It should not be overlooked.
Yes, I love this.
You're ahead of the game.
This is great. Look at me. I'm protecting my bones. Dr. Neustadt, before we dive into gardening and all the things osteoporosis, tell us a little bit about your background, why you became so passionate about natural medicine, natural foods, and helping people with osteoporosis.
When I was in my 20s, I was living in Seattle and working in high tech, and was absolutely miserable. It was definitely the wrong career for me, the wrong environment, and I started to get sick. I went to a medical doctor because my insurance would pay for it. I think a lot of people have this experience where they just need a doctor and look for one that's on the list of what the insurance will cover. And when I walked in to the exam room and was waiting for him, he came in with his prescription pad already in his hand. And I had not been sick before. I wanted to understand what was going on with me, what was going on with my body, and what I could do for myself. I started asking him questions, and I could tell that he was getting impatient and just wanted to get on to his next patient and write me a prescription and be done. And his answer to my questions were essentially, there's nothing you can do about this. I didn't like those answers. I was interested in integrative medicine. You know, speaking of gardening, I was doing a lot of gardening in Seattle. I was growing vegetables in my garden, and I was bike commuting to work. So I was healthy other than this one issue that was going on. And I'd heard about Bastyr University, which is a naturopathic medical school in the Seattle area, and they had a teaching clinic down the road. So I thought to myself, well, let's see what these folks have to say. And I didn't like the service I just received. I went and made an appointment. The chief medical officer happened to be the one who was the attending clinician for the appointment, and two student clinicians. They met with me for over 45 minutes, about an hour, answered my questions patiently, really got to know me well, were giving me suggestions about what I could do to improve my health without drugs, although the prescription was still an option. And at the very end of the appointment, this physician got to know me well enough that he said, you need to quit your job. one of the underlying philosophies and guiding principles of naturopathic medicine is to treat the cause. And they'd gotten to know me well enough that that was one of the underlying causes. And at that point in my life, that was one, that was the third party validation I think I was looking for. I was looking for somebody, you know, outside of my family, outside of people I knew, to just tell me what I think I already needed to do. And I quit my job the next week, left that industry, and started enrolling into medical school. I was already thinking about medical school, so this wasn't something that was totally a brand new idea, and that just pulled the trigger for me. Now, once I got into clinical practice, I was practicing in Montana, had a small private practice in Montana, and I started seeing patients with osteoporosis. I was treating them how I was taught, and their bone density was going up. I was happy. They were happy. My mother-in-law has osteoporosis. She's now 94. Wow. And at the time, she was working with her medical doctor and taking Flossamax. And I was giving her some suggestions with diet, with lifestyle, and her bone density was going up. And so her physician was happy. She was happy. I was happy. And then she fell and broke her hip. And it wasn't even a, you know, a crazy fall like sometimes you hear about, you know, real cold wintry environments where somebody slips on the ice. No, she was walking in her house and she shuffles a little bit and just caught her toe on an area rug and fell and broke her hip. And I thought to myself, something is wrong with this picture. Because by all objective measures, that bone density test and that she was taking the medication, she should have been protected and she wasn't. So I dove into the research and what I discovered was shocking. Despite the fact that we've known since the 1990s that a bone density test predicts less than half of people who will break a bone, that is primarily, you know, almost exclusively what is tracked to see if somebody is getting improvement. In fact, in 2008, a study came out that quantified that a little bit better and determined that women with osteoporosis, a bone density test only predicts 44% of them who will break a bone and only 21% of men. So focusing just on that number on the test instead of the patient sitting in front of us and looking at it holistically is woefully inadequate, because every medical association, all the research out there supports an integrative approach and says that there are things that we can do that are much better at improving bone health, maintaining bone strength, and reducing fracture risk.
Wow. Before we go to break here, I want to ask, while we're talking about numbers, how prevalent is osteoporosis in our population? How often are you seeing this in your practice?
Oh, all the time. I mean, first of all, it's what I've specialized in, so I'm seeing a very self-selected population. But you know, we're talking, you know, tens of millions of people, and the latest statistics that we've got are a little old, and we're talking about, you know, 30 to 50 million people with bone loss or osteoporosis, but that is just going to continue to go up because it is a condition that affects people more frequently as they age, especially as women go through menopause, and for the 10 years after, it's the fastest rate of bone loss. And we are seeing an aging population where more and more people are turning 65 years old. And so we are really sitting on the cusp of what I talk about in my medical lectures to physicians and trying to teach them this approach, is we are looking at a tsunami of new cases that are going to be coming down the pipe.
That's scary to think of. That is the voice of Dr. John Neustadt. He is founder and president of NBI, and we are going to continue our conversation with him and all things related to osteoporosis right after this. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF AM 680 and WPTF.com with your hosts, Mary Lucas and Jason Kong.
Welcome back to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. We are speaking with Dr. John Neustadt. He is founder and president of NBI, which stands for Nutritional Biochemistry, Inc., and we are talking about all things related to osteoporosis. And Mary, we kind of just went over how this is an issue that is exploding. It's getting worse, but maybe we want to take a step back and and get back to the basics when it comes to osteoporosis.
Absolutely. John, let's talk a little bit about what is osteoporosis. Help us understand, what is this? What are some of the risks associated with it for our population?
Osteoporosis is a disease of the bones, where bones become weaker and increases the risk for fractures. Mm-hmm. That is, in the real risk, I talked about bone density tests a couple minutes ago. The real risk with this disease is not that number on a test. It's whether you're going to break a bone. Mm-hmm. If you are a woman with osteoporosis and fracture a hip, there's up to a 36% chance that you're going to be dead within a year. And about half of those people who survive never regain their pre-fracture level of mobility, comfort, enjoyment of their life, and a significant proportion of those even struggle with their activities of daily living, meaning they need assistance with dressing themselves or bathing, you know, basic activities. And the woman's risk, just to drive this point home of how common this is, how important it is for people to pay attention to this. A woman's risk for an osteoporosis fracture is equal to her combined risk of breast, uterine, and ovarian cancer.
Wow.
And what happens with the bones, because it's a tissue, it's a complex tissue, it is, and all tissues have different components to them. People understand bones to be minerals, calcium, magnesium, other minerals, and I think everybody listening has been told, you know, take calcium to protect your bones. But it's more than just the mineral component. A major component of bone, a major structural component of bone, is the proteins in bone, bone collagen being one of the most important ones. But there are about 200 different proteins in bone, and that's really important for me to mention, because I know we're going to be talking about, you know, things that people can do and what the research has shown can maintain strong bones, improve bone density, and reduce fracture risk. So I just want to mention that protein up front, because when it comes to diet, that's an important piece of the dietary puzzle that we will talk about. But when you look at bones, if you were to take and remove all the minerals from bone, just like you can a chicken bone. If you're to take a chicken bone and soak it in vinegar, all the minerals will be stripped out, and you'll be left with that protein, that collagen, that connective tissue. And it's like a rubber chicken bone, like a toy. You can bang it, you can twist it, you can run over it with a car. It will not break. That's what gives bone its ultimate quality and strength, and what is unfortunately too often overlooked when people are just focusing on the minerals. And in fact, a bone density test only tests for the mineral component of bone. But if you're to strip away all of the proteins from bone and you're left with just the minerals, it's brittle. It's like a column of chalk that breaks easily. So osteoporosis is a disorder where not only are you losing minerals, but the proteins in bone are being stripped away too. That extracellular matrix, that the tissue in the bone is becoming weaker, and that predisposes people to fractures.
Wow. How do you know that you have something like this? Is it one of those things that, you know, we see people all the time in the hospital that fall, break a hip, like you mentioned, or, you know, does it take breaking a bone to then find out that you have osteoporosis, or are there symptoms you can notice before that?
Unfortunately, oftentimes the first symptom is a fracture. this is, despite the recommendations of the United States Preventative Services Task Force, despite the recommendations of different medical associations and organizations, most people who are eligible for testing with a bone density test, and that is still the gold standard for testing, are not getting screened for osteoporosis. In fact, one study showed that of eligible Medicare patients, over 90% were not getting tested. So it's really important to ask for a screening. And it's also important to understand that even if you are below that threshold for the recommended screening age, which for women is 65 or after menopause, that if you break a bone, if you're 50 years, anybody 50 years or older who breaks a bone, and this is a recommendation of the Bone Health and Osteoporosis Foundation, ask for a bone density test, get screened for a bone density test. I like personally, for all my female patients, I recommend that they, anybody who goes, when they go through menopause, they get a baseline bone density test, so that then we can track any changes over time.
What does a bone density test entail? Like, what are you looking at here? Is this a very invasive thing, or how do you go about asking for that with your provider?
Yeah, it's, everybody knows what it is. Every provider understands. It's an X-ray. It's a simple test. It's readily available through the radiology department, usually a local hospital or imaging center. It's an X-ray that is very low dose. It doesn't expose you to a lot of radiation, and it puts X-rays through the bone, and those X-rays bounce off the minerals. And that angle at which they bounce off the minerals, that's what's detected by the machine, and it spits out the results, you know, does its mathematical magic that they do in those, inside of those machines, and creates two scores. One is called a T-score, and the other is called a Z-score. A T-score is somebody's bone density compared to someone of the same sex and race in their 20s. So if I were a 65-year-old, a white woman, my T-score would be comparing my bone density to a 20 to 29-year-old white female, white woman. And the Z-score is the other test, the other result, that compares somebody's bone density to somebody of their same age. So you can see where they are relative to somebody of their own age and sex and race. Now, a T-score of minus 1 to minus 1.5, that is diagnostic of osteoporosis. Minus 1 to minus 2.5 is diagnostic of osteoporosis, and anything minus 2.5 and lower, minus 2.8, minus 2.9, that's osteoposis. So, osteopenia is minus 1 to minus 2.5. Osteoporosis is anything lower than that.
Fascinating. We're all now experts on our T-scores and Z-scores. So thank you, Dr. Neustadt, for providing us with that insight when it comes to osteoporosis. And now we're armed with a little bit more information when we go to see our physicians. We're going to continue our conversation related to all things osteoporosis. We want to learn more about what to do once you're diagnosed, prevention. There's a lot that we want to get to with Dr. John Neustadt, who is the founder and president of NBI, Nutritional Biochemistry, Inc., and we're going to continue this conversation in just a bit. Stick around. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one with Mary Lucas and Jason Kong. If you have questions for the show, you can email agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Hey, if you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to go online to transitionslifecare.org. You can find information, resources available to you. There's so much information, transitionslifecare.org. I'm Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. We are speaking with Dr. John Neustadt, founder and president of NBI, and we're talking about all things related to osteoporosis. And Mary, we've covered a lot of ground so far in terms of what osteoporosis is. We've learned about bone density and how it's helpful and how it's probably not so helpful to have those metrics. But there's a lot more ground to cover.
Yes, absolutely. I want to think, before we dive in how to avoid it, I want to talk about the risk factors, because I think that kind of leads directly into then how you avoid it and avoiding osteoporosis and lifestyle changes and et cetera. But John, what are some of the risk factors with osteoporosis? Is it family and hereditary? Is it diet, exercise, medication? Talk to us a little bit about what you're at risk here.
I think about the risk factors in two general categories. One are things you can change, modifiable risk factors, and things you cannot change, the non-modifiable risk factors. You can't change your family history, and family history is a risk. If your mother had osteoporosis, then you're at higher risk for osteoporosis. Your age is a risk. Nobody can change how old they are. The older you get, the greater your risk. But the modifiable risk factors, and there is a long list of those are largely in people's control. A sedentary lifestyle, not exercising, poor diet, medications. There are a long list of medications that increase the risk for osteoporosis and fractures. Those are things that people, if they talk to their doctor about, may be able to switch to a safer medication or reduce the dose. You know, there are ways to approach that that I actually discuss in my book and give people questions to ask their doctor so they make sure they're getting the best care. But there is so much that is in our individual control that you can really not just prevent this, but reverse it as well.
So talk to us a little bit about that. And at the end of the show, I want to make sure everyone has the information they need to find your book and more resources that you've put out there. But what can you do, some 1-2-3s about what you can do to try to avoid it? And your lifestyle is, you know, we've talked a little bit about exercise and gardening. Is it safe to do exercise? And what kinds of things help with your bone health?
So in terms of exercise, there's a couple ways to think about it. A lot of people think about exercise to build bone density, which is weight-bearing exercises, lifting weights, or, you know, using your own body weight as well. And that's fantastic. That's part of the puzzle. But anything that improves balance is important as well. And that's one of the things that gardening can do, is it can help improve your balance. It doesn't have to be that people go into a gym and lift weights. Improving somebody's balance and strength reduces their risk for falling. And 95% of fractures occur because somebody falls. So anything we can do to reduce fracture fall risk is going to reduce fracture risk. I like practical, simple solutions. For example, the stork exercise is one of my favorites to tell people about. Everybody brushes their teeth. Storks are famous for standing on one leg. So if you, while you're brushing your teeth, you stand on one leg for 1 minute as you're doing the bottom teeth or the top teeth. And then for the second minute, you switch legs for the other, you know, for the top of your teeth, for the other part of your mouth. And so you're standing on one foot, 2 minutes twice a day, because hopefully everybody's brushing their teeth twice a day. And even that can increase a little bit of core. It's a little bit of core work, balance work, improve stability, parking further away in a parking spot, you know, at a store, and walking more. The research has shown that if you just walk 7,000 to 7,500 steps a day, that's associated with a 50 to 70% reduction in all-cause mortality. That's death from any cause. Mm-hmm. And so movement is cumulative throughout our day. So structuring your day where you are walking, moving, gardening, is great. And then, of course, there's tons of wonderful exercises that people can do, group exercises, individual exercises that people can do as well. In terms of prevention that you asked about, diet is really important. Unfortunately, when people go and they get a diagnosis of osteoporosis and they're told, follow a healthy diet, emphasize calcium, get enough calcium, they're not really given important specifics that are based on the research that can tell people, teach people how to reduce their risk of fractures and how to reduce their risk for osteoporosis. And it's about a dietary pattern. It's not about, focusing on one individual food. The dietary pattern that's been most studied and researched and shown to reduce osteoporosis risk by 20%, but more importantly, reduce the risk of fractures by over 20%, is the Mediterranean dietary pattern. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially a plant-forward diet, lots of whole fruits and vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins like chicken and fish, legumes, very low in processed foods. And that gives the body the raw materials. Mm-hmm. Our body is biochemical. And when we give our body the nutrients that our biochemistry is naturally wired to use, it does its job. And so mm-hmm. we give those raw materials and it can build stronger bones. And one of the important things that I'm passionate about telling people about is you've got to get enough protein. Mm-hmm. And even despite the high keto, high protein craze, going around in the country right now, most people I talk to aren't getting enough protein. And the recommendation, the USRDA for protein, as people get older, is insufficient to maintain muscle and bone mass. Research came out of Europe, actually, and showed that just the amount of protein somebody consumes can account for 2-4% of bone mineral density. As I mentioned earlier, bone is a highly protein-dependent tissue, and it has 200 proteins in it. And those proteins and that collagen is what the minerals bind to. And so you've got to give that scaffolding, that infrastructure to the bone to be able to hold on to those minerals or add new minerals. And so making sure you're getting enough protein is really important, as well as all of those other, whole foods. In terms of one important component that is often overlooked is sleep. Mm. And we know that insomnia or not getting enough sleep is associated with faster bone loss and osteoporosis and osteopenia. Plus, it also increases people's risk for falls and fractures. Mm-hmm. So those are just a few of the modifiable risk factors.
That is very helpful. I am at a risk for not getting enough sleep this week, so that's something to remember. Before we finish out the show here, I want to make sure to give you a little time to tell people where to find more information about you and your book and more of the resources that you have. So can you talk to us a little bit about how to find you?
I would love to do that. If I may, just quick 30 seconds. Sure, yeah. The medication piece is really important. The most popular medications, acid-blocking medications, mm-hmm. medications for depression, anything that increases serotonin like Prozac, Lexapro, mm-hmm. Medications that are used for sleep and anxiety, those benzodiazepine-type drugs, all of those and many, many more increase the risk for osteoporosis and fractures. So don't overlook that. Talk to your pharmacist, talk to your doctor. Again, there are resources on my website, nbihealth.com. There's an article I just recently published, which is a comprehensive list of medications that cause osteoporosis. There's also a chapter in my book, which is called Fracture Proof Your Bones, a comprehensive guide to osteoporosis, which goes into a lot more details and helps people walk them through chapter by chapter how they can create a holistic bone health plan for themselves. And that website is nbihealth.com.
NBIHealth.com to learn more about Dr. John Neustadt, founder and president of NBI. John, thank you so much for your time today and your expertise. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And the book is called Fracture Proof Your Bones, A Comprehensive Guide to Osteoporosis. And everybody knows you can go to Amazon to find something like that. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. Stick around. You're listening to Aging Matters. Care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care. Here's your host, Jason Kong.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. Hey, don't forget, if you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to go online to transitionslifecare.com. .org. It's a great resource for you or anyone that you may know of who's on a caregiving journey. Head on over to transitionslifecare.org. Well, Mary, we've covered a lot of ground today. Now I think it's a logical segue to get full into dating.
Yes. I'm not going to lie. I have been online dating before in my past. I'm pretty sure at this point in life, there's a lot of people that are with me. So maybe that's not a scary thing to say anymore. But we're on the theme here and we're close to Valentine's Day. So I figured let's talk about online dating. I'm sure you know, Jason, somebody who's been online dating before. There's a lot of horror stories.
There's a lot of horror stories. But, I also, maybe it's just a small subset of my friend group, but some like wild success stories where it's like, hey, first match and boom, a few years later, we're married. It's wild.
Yeah. My sister actually met her now husband on a dating site. So it works. But dating after divorce, long-term relationships, it can be so hard. And like I mentioned previously, you have kids and mortgages and you're planning your retirement and you may have grandkids or parents you're taking care of. We talk about caregivers on the show. There's a lot of things going on and it can be very intimidating. And sometimes I feel like online dating seems like an easy way to be like, I'll see what's out there. But that's a whole world too. So there's apps and there's websites and apps, and I wanted to kind of go through a few of them and give you my reviews of all the dating apps.
This is good because there's so many of them out there and, sometimes they're tailored towards different demographics. So I like this. I like this curated app review.
Yes, you're exactly right. There are apps. I've done some research. There's your typical apps, but there's also apps for singles over 50. There's apps that are specific to religious beliefs or LGBTQ plus specific communities. But before I dive into this, I just want to say my number one priority, stay safe. Be careful, stay safe. If you're going out with somebody you've never met, do it in a very public place. I like to turn my location on my phone when I was online dating. My sister always knew the name of the person I was with and could see my location when I went somewhere. And I called her as soon as I left. She always gave me an option. Shout out Kate. She always called me about an hour into the date to give me an out if I wanted an out, and said something awkward. Sorry for the men who I've left very quickly because my mom was sick or something like that. But... always communicate with people before you do this and stay safe. But here are my resources. For adults over 50, there's a couple sites. There's one called Our Time and Silver Singles. I've never heard of these before. I'm not over 50. I've learned that they're both online and they have an app for your phone. They're both free and they have premium packages. Sometimes the premium packages went throughout these reviews that I'm giving today. Offer things like being able to see who liked you before you go through and like a bunch of people, or to have more messages, or to keep your profile private while you swipe around and not have everyone see you until you like them first. There's a lot of different options when you look at premium packages. So both Our Time and Silver Singles are for adults over 50, online and app form, which is great in case you don't really love being on your phone all that much. And on that note, I think that you can really waste a lot of time on apps too. Like when I was doing it, you could really get bogged down and swipe all night if you really wanted to. But I think that it's best if you limit it because it can get overwhelming and it can be a lot. I would say spend 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes at night and cut it off. Otherwise, don't get bogged down. But general audience, the one that I had the most success with when I was online dating was Bumble and Hinge. They're the two most popular right now, and they're for all ages. Bumble actually has options for friendship matchmaking and for business networking, which I think is pretty cool. Kind of in tune with what we were talking about earlier too.
That is very interesting, and I'm sure that they may need to publicize that a little bit more. It'd be funny to like catch your spouse on Bumble. Like, no, I was just trying to make a business connection. I swear. Let's see how that could cause some trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned safety, and yes. I think it's really important to point out so many of these scammers that are out there.
Oh, yeah.
And just to always have your guard up, especially if folks try and build these connections online but never actually meet, and then it's just it turns into a scam of just constantly asking for money.
Yes.
And people feel kind of either obligated, or maybe they want to do it because they feel like they really care about this person, but really their intent is just to use you as an ATM.
Yes, that's a really good point. There is a bit of that out there, and you'll see sites that are out there that are clearly fake, or people out there that are clearly fake and have fake photos, and it's something to be very wary of. And I don't want to turn anyone away completely from online dating. Just be very careful.
Just be smart about it. What else? What other?
Coffee Meets Bagel. This is my favorite name. This is my favorite name for a dating site. Coffee Meets Bagel. This is an interesting one because you can only have 5 likes a day, and you only have 7 days to meet up after matching, which is interesting to me because this eliminates ghosting. Do you know what ghosting is?
I am aware of ghosting, but maybe let's explain that for those listening.
Let's talk about ghosting. Lessons in dating. Ghosting is when you stop communication with someone abruptly without any explanation and you disappear.
You've turned into a ghost.
You've turned into a ghost. Let's be honest. If someone is ghosting you, you don't want them in your life anyway. We should start a show about Mary's online dating lessons. We don't have time for inconsiderate people, y'all. So ghosting shows emotional immaturity, and let the trash take itself out. Be done with them. You don't need to worry about ghosting. Don't let it bring you down. That is emotionally immature. If someone ghosts you, move on. Don't let it bog you down. The trash took itself out.
They're doing you a favor at that point.
They sure are. Okay, back on track. Two classics I want to mention. eHarmony, classic. It's an online. It's not an app. You have to pay. It's a very long sign-up process. There's a huge quiz up front, and I think that maybe that will help people match better like-minded people maybe. They do have some sort of guarantee, like find someone you love and X amount of months or get your money back. Match.com is also a classic and has a similar promise, and but they have an app form, but they are a paid service as well. So eHarmony and Match are kind of like the oldest ones out there and kind of focus more on the computer at first than via phone. Tinder is definitely for a younger audience, but also one that I think everyone most hears about. I'm sure everyone has heard about it at this point. It's one that swipe left, swipe right.
Yes.
It's free, but they do have some payment model. It is very much for the younger audience. And I want to mention there's some religion-based services too. There's JDate for Jewish singles. They have a website and an app. It's a paid service. Christian Mingle is for God-centered relationships. They send you potential matches, but you also have to pay to chat there, and there's some sort of pay feature. Some of them have some free options, but they're kind of minimal. And then there's some LGBTQ+ communities. Her is for women and non-binary singles, and Grindr for gay men. And that's a swipe-based app. So there's tons of options out there if you want to start looking before Valentine's Day. But be safe, and and make sure that you are letting people know where you are so that someone has got an eye on you. Be safe.
I feel so old because I'm kind of thankful that I missed out on the online dating scene. But I feel like if for whatever reason I had to be thrust back in to that environment, I would be terrified. Do you have any advice for those who, either maybe technologically adverse, or it's just this is just completely foreign to them. What's a good first step to dip our toe in the water?
Well, one of my favorite things to do when I was online dating, I'm not online dating anymore, but my favorite thing to do was to give my sister my phone, and she made my profile.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah, she made my profile, or let your friend take your phone and pick out some good photos for you. I helped another friend recently, a guy friend of mine, pick out photos for his profile. And I told him some of the things he said were really dumb, and helped him change a little bit of that around. I'm not going to share his name on the air. But I think if you let your friend, if you feel goofy doing it, let your friend take a look at it before you post it out there and see, get some advice. Maybe they have, you know, my sister said some things about me that I would have never said about myself that were, I thought were really, really good. But, you know, if you're a little bit nervous about it, I'll engage a friend and ask him what they think.
That is a really good idea, because I could definitely see myself putting up a profile that would be not attractive. So having some outside advice or a third party there, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, now we know what to do when it comes to online dating. We've made a good segment of our audience very dangerous right now. So.
I know. This makes me a little bit nervous. Like I said, let the trash take itself out. Don't let anyone ghost you.
Exactly. Don't let them get the upper hand. Yes. Like that. Well, that is our show for today. Man, we've covered a lot of ground. This was a lot of fun. I want to remind everyone, if you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to head on over to transitionslifecare.org. So many resources are available there for those who are in a caregiving situation. Don't forget WPTF.com if you want to catch up on episodes. Maybe you want to go back and listen to a portion of this episode or one from the past. WPTF.com, click on Shows, Aging Matters, and there you will find the podcast section for Aging Matters. On behalf of Mary Lucas, I'm Jason Kong. Thank you so much for listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. For more information, log on to transitionslifecare.org.